Matt. Thank you guys for tuning in to Conspiracy is the Theory. My name is Reeland, and today we got a great guitar player, Eric Ferrantinos. He's been on the show before. I'm extremely happy to have him back here again. And once again, man, thank you. Well, I only got to be right one time. That's all I got to be right one time. What's up, Eric? How you doing, brother?
You're having me back.
Sorry, but I had it mute for a second. Now you're back on, Eric. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh man, any time. Yeah, I run the board myself because this is a low budget one, and I forgot to you know how you got to do like multi thing. I forgot to unmute it. I got to do my intro. That's my new intro. That's my funky intro. You know, I took the other one off because it's actually gonna be a song. I appreciate it, man.
No, you got me in the mood.
That's right, dude. That's the whole thing. You're gonna get in the mood a little funky with some conspiracy theories. You know what I'm saying?
Funky conspiracy theories. That's right. Let's do it.
Now, I'm going to tell you, last time on the show, you said that this guy did a video about Stephen Piercy being an Illuminati. I couldn't find it anywhere. I only found an interview about you talking about it on another show. I think I forget the name of the show it was on. But
I see.
I can't find it, man. I looked all over for it. I can't find it.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is while I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to look up the guy. So that would probably help refine the search.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
We could talk about things while doing that.
That'd be awesome, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
So
how's it going? You guys had a bad hurricane, right? Last time I talked to you.
Yeah, there was a big tornado that came through, man. It wiped out quite a bit of stuff. I have a lot of friends and family that lost their homes and cars. It's a really bad situation, but thank God it's kind of over. The insurance companies have did a great job about taking care of people and whatnot. So yeah, and it's been a cold. It's snowed four times this year, man. How's that beautiful California weather?
It's always beautiful here, and I'm right by the beach, but it has been cold here too.
Yeah.
And one famous conspiracy is chemtrails, and they certainly spray a lot of stuff around here. They're apparently trying to deflect the sun, basically block out the sun to fight climate change or what have you. So it's weird. They were doing a lot of spraying today. I don't know if that really affects it or what, but it's been definitely cold the last 4 months for San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids are still out there, so they'll send me like a video shot like of the weather. Like, I feel like I'm in Kentucky, and I guess it was kind of snowing a little bit up by the Victorville area. And I'm telling my daughter, I'm like, it's snowing out there. She goes, it's not snowing. I'm like, it's snowing. It's telling me it's snowing, but I had the Victorville one on there.
We get snow in the mountains.
Yeah. Oh, that's really, really cool.
I know. I mean, I was talking to you. I did find a guy that I couldn't remember his name. His name's Zachary K. Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the one that did the video?
Yeah, Zachary K. Hubbard, and he has a show called The Gematria Effect.
The Gematria? I never heard of The Gematria Effect. What is that?
Yeah, it's a Gematria, which is, you know, numerology, basically. And he actually, his show's interesting, you know, he always ties world events in with numbers and encoded numbers and such. And he also does it with sports, where he predicted some big wins for like Super Bowls and things like that, because he basically claims that they're really just a ritual in the grand scheme of things, and that you can tell by the score and different things like that. He could put together patterns to show such things, Gematria, basically. But Zachary K. Hubbard, and I had watched him for a few years, and then it was mind-blowing that he had decided to do a video on our song that Steven and I wrote, that we did a video for, 10 Miles Wide.
Yeah. That was with the masks, the masks and all the little symbolism in there, right?
Yeah, which we definitely had intentionally done. Steven was trying to do an Eyes Wide Shut type.
Yeah.
Director deal on there, and you know, he accomplished that. But you know, sometimes when you're just, you know, playing a part or doing whatever, people can assign more to it than what it is. As far as our personal lives go, we're not in a secret society, aside from the rap bastards. That's our only, and it's not so much a secret.
Yeah, that's cool, man. No, and I'm going to tell you what, it's a great song and a great video, man. You're still helping when you write that stuff with Steven. You're still keeping him in that rock genre. Like, he doesn't really float away from what he does. You know what I mean? And I think you help out a lot of guitar riffs, right?
Yeah, definitely. The stuff on especially Smash and View to a Thrill, I give Steven the music, and he comes up with the majority of his vocals and everything. It's just a good teamwork that he and I have, where we don't have to get too many people involved aside from when we go in to actually record it with real drums or what have you. The last album we had Scott Coogan, who's played with a lot of cool bands, Lita Ford, Ace Frehley, LA Guns as most recently. And he did a great job coming in and playing on that Smash album with Greg D'Angelo from White Lion. Everybody remembers White Lion.
How could you not? I mean, they're a great band, you know.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah. I do hope the guitar player gets back one day in that band. But I don't think he plays guitar anymore to even come back in the band. I think he's...
Vito Bratta.
Yeah, Vito Bratta. I don't think he really plays guitar that much anymore. And maybe that's the reason why he
doesn't come back. Yeah, he had I mean, I would get bits and pieces from Greg in regards to him. But, he kind of got out of the scene for a while. I think he might have been caretaking for his mom on the East Coast. And, he stopped. As far as I know, he had stopped playing, which was strange because to get to that level and to totally stop playing, you know, I don't know what he was going through or what caused that. But,
yeah,
that's pretty extreme.
It is, especially being so beloved, man. If he went back in White Lion, I bet they would sell out arenas. It would be if Skid Row got back together and White Lion, imagine that tour. It would be like a groundbreaking tour. You know what I'm saying? It would sell out stadiums.
They could, they definitely, it would be cool. The singer still looks good and stayed in shape, so definitely he could lead the band, and Greg could still play. The bass player, he still works and stuff, too. I think, he might be a Megadeth right now, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't know that.
I think he just took over for the other Dave that had to leave abruptly.
Yeah. I know they got a new guitar player. No, that's the new bass player that went in there. You're right. After what happened.
I remember. White Lion.
You know, that's really cool, man. You know, I've always admired that band. I'm big on rock bands. So 80s and 90s, that's the genre that I really like. Now, since last time we talked, has the new record progressed any? I know you said you had some songs, but it was kind of really not moving forward at the time. But have you guys started to get more in the studio and working on getting those songs ready?
Well, the only what changed, like, as far as recently, is Steven moved out to Las Vegas. So... still trying to figure out how we're going to do this. I know he's still shopping on the label front. I think that there's a label that I think he's going to go with, something Robot. I was a Bad Robot? No, I'm forgetting. But it's the one that Love Hate and everybody had just done some stuff with. Mm-hmm. The first thing he's putting out is a compilation, like a greatest hits type situation of his life, like an anthology, so to speak, of all his body of his work that's going to go out first, and then it'll be followed up with the new solo album. But to answer your question, no, I still give him music. I know I just gave him another song idea recently, a few weeks ago, but he just kind of sits on those. I mean, as I said in I think the last time we talked, that it's kind of weird how we work, where when he does finally get the time and we go in and do it, I don't really know what he's going to do vocally. Okay. And somehow we just put our backs to the wall, and with the help of Matt, whose studio we typically go in, we just kind of produce him, and we work good under pressure like that. But it's interesting that I don't really get to know what he's doing. I try to work. I have like vocal ideas and stuff too, just in case he's having trouble with something. I could go, well, this is what I was hearing, and then we can kind of work it out from there. But it's pretty much business as usual. It's not weird that I haven't heard what he's doing with this yet. I just keep doing my part, which is keep sending him material, which I know I've sent him at least 25 songs. So we definitely have enough to do a record. It'll just be like figuring out which ones have the strongest vocal ideas to make it as not mainstream, but you know, pleasurable to the ear as possible.
I get it, man. I write songs and I get the songs pretty much mixed and almost ready for mastering before I even start writing my vocals. It's weird. I mean, everybody has their own technique. Right. And that's my technique. I write it. I hear everything in my head. Because to me, the music has to speak as much as the vocals. Right. So,
yeah. You want to leave some nice holes for the singer where, you know, he'll be able to, it's not too busy in certain sections that he could actually, you know, work with something there. But with rock, 80s rock stuff, you got to have the main rock riff.
And the solo.
You got to have a solo, man.
Yeah.
I did do a lot of, that takes a lot of work, you know, to write good solos. That's its own thing right there. I mean, and that's short, even if it's like a 30-second solo, that's a lot of notes can happen in an 80s rock song.
Yeah.
For the solo. And I always try to step it up a little more each time. So like this next record, I'll outplay myself from the last one, which is good. You want to get better as you go on, not crappier.
Yeah. You know, Wax at Me, Andre LaBelle, he's going to be on the show in about a month and a half or something like that. And he played with Vinnie Vincent. And he told me that Vinnie Vincent told him the stories when he was recording his albums, the Invasion album, you know, the first and second one, that the studio guy created a pedal for him where he could punch himself in and out as he played the solos. Isn't that crazy? Right. Like he would be playing and he would just punch himself in and out to get those solos where he wanted it. I thought that was a great story. It reminded me when you told me right now about how complicated it can be to kind of make the solos.
Well, especially if he's like, you know, he wants to do 100 takes of it. He's like, look, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. You have this pedal now. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Because it probably gets monotonous sitting there trying to track somebody solo. Even for me at home, I mean, if I'm struggling with something, I mean, the biggest thing is not to give up, you know, when you're trying to write a solo, just to keep at it, how many hours it takes. So you think you got something solid. And for me, you know, I'm not necessarily like a hired studio guitarist or something. I mean, I do play all my guitar parts on the record, but sometimes I struggle more on certain things, you know, to get it right. Mm-hmm. But when you do, it's rewarding, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'll do many takes, like for solos. I'll probably open up like 10 tracks and start kind of noodling away. And then nowadays it's kind of cool how you can edit digitally and kind of pick your best little spots of the solo and try to actually like put it together. Because sometimes you have magical things you do and you forgot you even did it. So it's good if you're tracking each time.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of, you know, combine my little sections of the solo and edit them together and get something that works.
Yeah.
So we're blessed to have you know, the technology nowadays that a guitar player can sit, no pressure at home, and knock that stuff out. And I'm always trying to, like, you know, get the studio more up to par. I just bought more stuff this week so that I can track as much at home as I can.
You know, and that's the key. Like I said, I got my studio. I love to record the house. You know, back in the day, there was no undo button. If you missed that punch and you screwed it up, you have to redo
it. Right.
There's no undo button ever. I think that's why you listen to some older music. There's flaws in it because it's too expensive to go back and fix the flaw. You're like, I can live with
probably.
It.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to live with things in the 90s when I was in, you know, more regional bands. And we would go record on tape in an analog studio. Mm-hmm. We knew we only had so much time. And so we kind of went in there and you had one or two takes at the most to get it. They had to move on. They wanted to spend more time on the vocals and things like that. Now it's a totally different world we're living in. I agree.
Yeah. What I do is now, because I'll sit on a song and I'll overthink it, I give myself release dates. So like my next single is April 13th. The song's called 1972 because I turned 50 on that day. And I have a release date. So the song has to be done. Come hell or high water, it's getting released, whatever it is done on there, you know? So, and
you have to create that pressure because like the best, that's what I was saying. Like sometimes the best stuff comes out when you do have that deadline at the last minute, somehow something great comes out of there and it all works out.
Yeah.
But you have to create that sense of urgency to get it.
Yeah. And I'm that cliche where I can mix it bad. Like I'll have a great mix and I'll remix it and I completely screw it up. So I save like my computer. I don't know about yours, Eric. I have like multiple savings of the same song. That way, in case I screw it up, I can go back to where it wasn't screwed up.
I should do that.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I've done that. No, I know what you're talking about. If I have to do anything drastic, like I'm going to try a drastic change to something, I'll do what you're saying. Save it as a different title and have both versions.
Yeah. I probably got 15, 1972 tracks in my Reason. track 1, 2, 75. I quit
going like, numbers. Like parallel universes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I watched a real cool video on the... Oh my gosh, my mind just went blank. On the,
one parallel two, three, universes.
Not, yeah, but it's parallel universes. But it was based upon, it's based upon the dimensions, right? So the first, second, right. Third dimension, which will be your third. But like the fourth and the fifth, as you start going up, it's parallel universes where you can travel through time and go back and forth. And then like the 10th dimension, you're God. Pretty much you can do anything. You create your own universes. Have you ever seen all those dimensions broken down before?
I've seen Buckaroo Banzai's fifth dimension.
There you go. Yeah. But I was like, wow, that's
but,
cool.
No, I haven't. I'd have to watch a video on all the dimensions broken down, but I do find that all fascinating.
Yeah.
So they're saying that there's 10 dimensions?
No, there's 11 dimensions technically. Time is one. And then, but okay. It can go like infinite dimensions is what it can, I guess what it goes in. But they break it down like, you know, 1, 2, and then 3. We're in the 3. And then the fourth one kind of becomes like, I mean, off the top of my head, but they get into where you can go through time and then you can create an alternative timeline. Right. And then in order to go back to the one, you can go back in time and then go forward. Then the next dimension is you can take shortcuts from one timeline to the next timeline. And it just gets crazy. And then by the 10th dimension, you can create your own universes, how everything's going to work within that universe and go anytime that the universe exists. Absolutely crazy.
So we would have that power ourselves individually, or are we at the mercy of somebody else's tinkering with that?
No, at the 10th dimension, you are the tinkerer. You're like taking control of everything. And if you watch the Marvel movies, they're all based on these dimensions. I mean, if you look at them, I was watching them like, you know, like the fourth dimension is called the Tesseract. So one of the guys had it, remember the Tesseract. So is
right.
I think Marvel really took a point and they ran with these dimension things, you know, and that's why they're interdimensions, all the other stuff.
Fictional movies always have a taste of the truth in them.
They do.
You know, they feel safe, like giving little secrets, which all throughout history, artists have always kind of snuck stuff into their work. And so even though you're watching fiction, definitely they give you little clues in some of these. That doesn't surprise me at all. The Marvel movies did that.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm probably 100% wrong, but you know that boat that's in the ocean that is caught on fire and all them thousands of Volkswagens and Porsches and Lamborghinis that are just going away? Do you think Volkswagen lit that sucker on fire? I could be wrong. I'm just saying car business is rough right now. You need microchips. You can't – your car business companies, they're
right,
losing
they need money.
Money
now. I mean
– yes.
Well, insurance is always a big motivator for crime.
Yep.
You know, so that would not surprise me in the least because, I mean, I've never heard of such a thing ever happening in history, let alone right now, a shortage of cars.
Yeah.
And I think you're right that – you know, I think they're shipping cars that are missing the parts still, you know, and for some manufacturers.
Well, yeah, some are being built and they don't have like certain the microchips or which is like components right. That can go in there to move them. So there's a ton of cars built that they can't move. I'm in the car business and it is absolutely rough, man. I got customers waiting for their Broncos and their Broncos are built, but they still need to be put the microchip. And then on top of it, there's no drivers to pick up the vehicles. So you're fighting the microchip war and then you're also getting where no drivers are picking anything up. And there's a shortage of
right,
everything.
And you figure those cars, I mean, they have the 2022 models coming over on a ship. They don't move those at a certain point. It's yesterday's news by next year. So definitely it's suspicious to have that many cars go up. for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to follow that story.
And there's 1,000 Porsches in there, and then there's some Lamborghini. They throw like Lamborghinis, Porsches, like expensive cars. You know, a couple thousand.
So you know what the total damage was? Was it like, you know, $100 million of damage?
I haven't heard yet, but I'm sure it's going to be through the roof. You know, I'm not saying they did it. I'm just saying it looks. If I'm investigating a detective, I'm gonna ask some questions. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna ask some questions.
They had a guy in the military that got court-martialed that destroyed a whole ship on his own.
Really?
Like he wanted to get out of the military, and he just decided to sabotage the ship and get rid of all the fire equipment, the safety equipment to put it out. And one guy was able to take out a whole Navy vessel.
Wow.
Hardcore.
I guess that's how you quit. I mean, people are getting inventive on how they quit nowadays. Like the one guy at the airplane just pulled the thing and slid down the slide.
Right. Southwest Airlines.
I mean, that's great. I mean, if I leave my job.
I thought of doing that a few times.
Did you really? just jumping out the tour bus?
Well, man, when they just have you sitting there, I've just been terrible with that. I'm okay, I guess, if the plane's moving, but when they just have us sitting there, I start to have panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I had we went and did some shows last week, and I had to take a bunch of flights, and it was awful because on the East Coast, the weather's bad. You know, we were like Chicago or something like that. We had to stop in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they couldn't take off. They were having to like de-ice the wings and all that. And it's just stressful, you know, and we're going to sit here for another hour and hope we get the okay to take off. Like, times like that, I definitely want to pull the door and get out, grab a cocktail and exit.
Yep, same way.
But somehow I made all my flights. But that traveling, I hate being on planes. I much prefer ground travel.
Yeah, I'm with you. Stressful. I'm with you. And I have to sit at the window. If I can't get a window seat, I'm not in it. I'm not doing it. I have to have a window seat. I'm claustrophobic. You know, so I have to at least see that there's something on the other side. If I'm going down, I want to see it. That middle is horrible.
Yeah. Southwest is like, you're pretty, unless you have some kind of pre-boarding status, you're definitely going to probably get a middle seat. You just have to sit there with your arms totally crossed.
Yeah, because they just give you a number at Southwest, right? You get a number, whatever seat you can get with that, the best seat available for that number, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that, you know, 24 hours before, you got to get on your phone and really quickly get on there and do all your things. But sometimes you have other things going on, you forget, and then you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But other airlines, they already kind of give you a signed seat number, so it's not quite a big a deal. I took a new guitar, like hardcore flight case for my guitars, and I flew on United Airlines this week. They charged me $150 to take this thing. I couldn't believe it. What a ripoff.
Wow.
Southwest wouldn't even care about something like that. They wouldn't charge you anything. Or other airlines would be like, oh, $35 for maybe one bag. They charged me $150.
That's crazy.
I gotta avoid them. Yeah, I got to avoid them.
So you guys fly to most of your gigs then? You don't do the old tour bus thing?
Not well, you know, it's funny because we haven't in a while, to answer your question. It's been a minute since we've been on a bus. Most of the shows are typically fly out shows. In some cases we might stay out for a week, and in that case we'll like rent a van or something, but they're still supplying most of the equipment at the venues. But he is Steven did tell me they are working on a bus for some of the runs we're doing this summer. So that was exciting that things are opening up enough. Mm-hmm. That we're actually contemplating getting a bus for some of this, which is right up my alley. I much prefer to travel like that. But things are opening up. Festivals are starting to happen. But the next gig we're doing is going to be awesome. It's for the Rainbow, which is the famous bar restaurant on the Sunset Strip by the Whiskey. They're having their 50th anniversary party, and that's the next thing that we're doing. And it's a free concert where they basically set up a stage in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Steel Panthers to headline it.
Oh, that's cool.
And we're going to play right before them.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of bands playing, but that'll be the next thing that we do at the end of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rainbow is as old as I am. Our birthdays are both in April. So I've always watched them post their birthdays, or 49th birthday or 48th birthday. And that's really, you know what? That would be cool. If y'all did a cover of Ace of Spades, that would be awesome at that gig. I don't think y'all will, but if you did a tribute, you know what I'm saying? For Ace of Spades,
yeah.
For Lemmy Motorhead.
That's, Well, we're going to have to turn it up. If we're playing with Steel Panther, we're going to have to turn it up.
Hey, but they're going to bring the girls, man. They're going to bring the girls, Eric. Well, Steven will bring the girls anyway, and you'll bring the girls, but they're going to bring the Steel Panther girls.
L.A. is ready to have some fun, man. They've just been too cooped up and masked up, and, you know, this will be a big turning point, because by the time that show happens, all those mandates will be over with, and everybody could just gather and enjoy music again, which, like, we're supposed to as humans. We need that interaction.
Yeah, yeah. So what other conspiracy theories have been on your mind lately? What have you seen out there that you're like, this doesn't make any sense?
Well, most recently, probably the war in the Ukraine. Like, there's something. Have you ever seen the movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah, and I was telling somebody that, you know, recently as well, before they actually did the invasion. I said, look, they're trying to create some drama is what they're doing. And I was like, even the guy who runs the country is like, shut up, man. Don't get involved. Just leave it alone. But we kept talking about it.
I've seen, military operations, obviously in the Middle East, as we were growing up, we'd see shots. There's something weird about this whole thing, I have to say. Like, the propaganda's on like 11 on this run. So, yeah. I'm curious what exactly is going on. I know they're trying to paint it as we're on the verge of World War III, but I'm not really buying that.
I'm not buying it either.
And, I'd always felt that, you know, as much as they try to play up a Cold War, that I sincerely feel that Russia has always been an ally of the U.S. So, you know, I don't harbor the same fear other people do about Russia, you know, but I'm probably more concerned about China.
China,
to be honest,
they don't hide it. We're not spreading the stuff about China. China's spreading the stuff about China, and they're watching over there. You know what I'm saying?
It's right. Like, yeah.
And you can't.
I can tell you something crazy. I can tell you a crazy thing that happened to me. Like, and I want to say it was 2019. That was the year that Steven and Juan had put this version of Rat together. And so he put the solo band on pause. This was before I joined Bow Wow Wow. This just happened to be a year where I didn't have any music work and I needed to make money. And I had a new car and I basically did rideshare. I drove for Uber and Lyft for that year, which was a pretty crazy experience in itself. But this one day I was only going to take one more ride and unfortunately, I took this ride that was it was from a military academy in Carlsbad here, and this was around like 4 o'clock. And what had happened is these two young kids, they're probably like, 14 and 15, these two brothers, and they were Chinese. And I think they went to the military school and they had missed their train or something like that. And they needed me to take them up north, which is like, they live like an hour and a half away. And that sucks because when you take somebody that far, you're not going to get a ride back.
No, you're not.
To like dead mile it back. And on the way there, the kid kind of threw me for a loop. He was talking about, I'm forgetting the town I had to take him to. I'll try to remember it, but he was kind of bragging about the town he was in. And then he went on to say how much, they hate white people and how they've managed to get them all out of their town. And I was like, oh, I was kind of surprised what he was saying. And he turned to me, he goes, no, he's like, you don't get it. We're going to wipe you out. We're going to completely wipe you out. And I was like, what is this kid saying? You know, I was like, honestly, at the time it didn't really make much sense to me. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, okay. That's weird. And you're going to this military school here. Okay. And when I took him back, his parents were somebody because they lived in one of these communities where they have their own police department. Like, you have to go. I had to show them my identification at the gate, and they had to run a whole check on me and stuff before I could enter in to take these kids to their house they lived at. And it always kind of stuck with me when he said that, because he seemed so arrogant about it and serious. And I didn't, you know, and then here we are, like, you know, a year and a half later, this whole pandemic unleashes, and obviously connections to China and everything. And it makes you wonder, you know,
yeah,
like what the agenda was. But yeah, kind of scary stuff.
And you had to be in a car for an hour and a half driving somebody who doesn't like you. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I know. And hear me, like, I'm actually trying to, like, do a good job at whatever I do and try to, you know, not make situations worse. And I, you know, and obviously I was the adult in it. I was, you know, they're just kids, you know, and I was recognizing that. And I think I actually turned it around at some point. I was, like, talking about my cat or something, and we ended up, like, changing the subject, and he kind of forgot that he hated white people long enough.
So you broke him down with your charm, Eric, huh? That's what you broke him down with your charm.
I was talking about how my cat's very vocal, and he's like, well, you know, my cat makes all these, you know, weird noises, and he made me, like, imitate my cat. And he started laughing at some point, like, I kind of disarmed him a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's sad that, you know, some people, you know, can, you know, give that hatred down to their kids, you know, for whatever reason. Yeah. But, you know, hopefully the truth comes out about what happened out there, and people are held accountable. But for now, I just want to move forward. I want to make sure we all, as Americans, band together and, you know, get out of this state of emergency, this perpetual state of emergency they're keeping us in, that allows them to take away all of our basic American rights, you know, our constitutional rights and our Bill of Rights, that they feel that they could just suspend it, you know, with these emergency orders and then these ridiculous mandates that are causing all these problems right now. I mean, as we speak, there's, I think, a 12-mile trucker convoy headed towards Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
I'm with you.
I don't know if you're following that.
Well, I'm not following that one as closely. I mean, I've seen a little bit of stuff about it and reading in the news. But it's in today's world, information is everywhere. And everybody knows what's going on. But yet nobody stops it. They know what they're doing. And that's the crazy thing. Back in the 50s and 60s, you didn't know what they were doing. You just thought they had the best hearts. In 2022, we know everybody's talking about it. So how can everybody talk about it, know what's going on, and they still just do it blindly? How does that work?
It's information overload mixed with, like, a cognitive dissonance, you know.
Yeah.
Really, it's just too over the top. And then, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, part of our military, we actually have an arm of the military that's whole job is to put out disinformation and, like, psyops and things like that, and just keep people confused. You know what I mean? If they want to hide something, they just put out a bunch of information that twists the truth about it. You know what I mean? So, and they're also good at getting their people to lead rebellions. Like that old saying, if you want to squash a rebellion, you have to lead it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a lot of scrutiny, you know, at least for me. And when I'm, where I get my information from, like podcasters, maybe I follow, it takes me a long time before I really kind of trust what I'm hearing from them, or if they've been compromised or,
yeah,
or what have you. But they get these people to, like, kind of lead everybody, and then they go and do something stupid that takes away from the whole movement. You know what I mean? That just basically illegitimizes the message, yeah. You know? That starts turning into identity politics and these different things. But yeah, like, YouTube is pretty much, forget about it. Like, you're not going to get much off of YouTube anymore. Like, any of the good conspiracy stuff that was actually true, they managed to, like, ban it from there. So I find myself going to other platforms BitChute, Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
They host some good podcasters on there, and it's just not compromised yet. I'm sure there'll be a point where they figure out how to censor everybody on there too.
Yeah, and I got a true story
for now.
For you.
I've been getting
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that, Eric. What were you saying?
Oh no! Please go ahead. I was done with the thought.
Oh no worries. I have a true story, and this is 100% true, right? I was going to do a podcast show with my mama. It says Mama Knows Who Killed Kennedy. And so there was this thing that was out because my mom is from Kentucky, right? And Land Between the Lakes had something to do with what Kennedy's dad couldn't get the money off the or you control the moonshiners and whatnot. So his son ended up doing the Land Between the Lakes and the where this land was taken from them and whatnot. And my mom's relatives was taken from them, right? So my mom has this thing, and she read it, and there was videos and stuff that. Two of the guys from here, Land of the Lakes area, actually were the ones that killed Kennedy. And she had the names and whatnot. And there was the two brothers, and they got away with it. But the video that used to be on YouTube that broke everything down, that these two guys actually did it, their last name was Warren, right? And in LBL's thing, the third guy's last name was Warren, but they weren't related. So he had something to do with it with these other two guys because they took the land. And the video, a year later, my mom went looking for it because I'm like, I'm getting on the podcast called Mama Knows Who Killed Kennedy. It was going to be a fun one and all this stuff. Video's gone. Right. It's been erased.
Yeah.
She can't find it. She had the exact link where to go get it because she posted on her YouTube back in the day. Gone. So you're absolutely right. And also, there was a video that I seen back in a long time ago where Trump said, I would run Republican because they're stupid. I seen it before, and it disappeared off the internet as well.
Oh, it's so easy for them to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And then even with publications, there's been a modern day book burning in a sense where they digitized all the books and got rid of them, throw them all away, and then now they can manipulate anything digitally. They can change edits. Any online content now so easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they pull many videos that go against their agenda or talk about things they don't want. And big tech has really, helped the government in that regard. But it's become, really apparent, obviously, in the last 2 years. They really tightened the bolts on that. So YouTube's about to pretty much be over with. The only thing YouTube's still good for is just your generalized type things of how-to videos and most music stuff you're good to go as long as you're not copyright infringing upon because they're getting good with that too, which is funny. Like I'll sometimes try to do a little promo video for Piercy and I'll get hit with a copyright strike for my own work.
Yeah, that's a good thing, and it's kind of a bad thing as an artist. You're promoting your own stuff, but they're gonna copy it on there. But you're gonna still get paid as an artist because of but it doesn't. Right. YouTube, we both know YouTube does not pay that much. They're worse than Spotify when it comes to what they're gonna pay. And
I've never gotten to the level of making any money through YouTube. Have you been able to actually get checks from them for your channel or anything?
I don't have they don't pay me on their channel, but I have received monies based upon my music being played on YouTube. Like even recently I did a video for the dealership, our Bronco Journey, and my new single that came out on February 3rd, I attached it on there and I told the owner, I said, look, they're going to put a copyright attachment on there, but my company automatically allows you to use it. So every time they watch that, I get paid, but
nice.
It was a good song to go on there. So even my podcast music that you've heard right now, I put that through the system on releasing it, so it'll be everywhere. So whenever I use it on YouTube or I use it through Spotify and all that for the intro and whatnot, then I'll get paid for it. So not a lot.
I've been seeing more money this past 2 years. I have to say, on the flip side, whatever they're the way that they're monetizing things or collecting the royalties and so forth, it's definitely picked up for me. And I also through Sound Exchange too is another company that goes after that sort of thing. So, you know, on the flip side, I have been seeing more money from them doing their job, but I've seen how they do it. And it's in this digital world we're in, it's really easy for them, their algorithms, to recognize any copywritten content or what have you. But that's good. Hopefully we'll get more money.
They recognize it in seconds. They even recognize it in like TikTok and all of them. So I did a TikTok video and I use music that I have in my, because I edit videos as well. I do a lot of the video stuff. And it's music that is within the software that I use for free. And TikTok copyright flag didn't pull the music off. I'm like, I can't believe it. I own the rights to use it. How do you even fight TikTok on that? So now I'll use my own stuff that I know TikTok will clear.
Right.
So that's how
I got to figure that out, because I'm thinking about doing a channel where I kind of break down some of the stuff I did on the Piercy records and whatnot. So I'm trying to like get my home studio to a point where I can actually like do video for that and film it. I'm trying to decide if I can even do a play along, or if I'm going to have to kind of re-record it in a way that I don't get hit with a strike, just trying to show them how I did the riff or whatever for it. I guess I'll have to see, but that's what I'm prepping to do here soon.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
You got to do it. Yeah. You know, as a musician, you got to kind of put yourself out there. I'm reluctant to do it. I hate to be judged by people. You know what I mean? Kind of sucks, but you gotta do it.
Yep, you definitely gotta do it. I'm with you. I always put myself out there. I finally finished I got the last piece coming from my studio, and it's done exactly how I want it. I've gotten all the guitars I've wanted. I got the studio built the way I've always wanted it. I finally got the mic that I used on my first couple albums, right? This mic is, I love this mic. I got a U87 coming. I'm excited, Eric.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So that was going to be like the centerpiece of my studio. So, you know, but I'm definitely in the box, but I'm in the box that uses like the SSL that came with the SSL 2 board and, you know, Reason. And I use all the Slate stuff. So that
made
the box.
I just got an SSL thing myself. I got a SSL 2 plus interface or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Oh, absolutely love it. I don't have the plus. I don't have I think the plus has the MIDI in it. But, dude, I love it. And my 4K button is always on. The plugins for that, bro, the plugins that you, I did the whole year. You know, they give them good for 6 months, right? And then you get a few of them. I pay yearly, $150 a year now. I keep all them SSL plugins. It is a dramatic difference when you go through and
run. So that's something I have to, because I just bought it. Like, I literally got to my place like 2 days ago, and I did the 4K button. So you're saying I got to like somehow pay them. I have to download to get their other plugins and stuff.
If you want the plugins, they're going to give you the plugins free for 6 months, right? And here's the good news. Every track I do, right, I run it through the board. Like I bring it into my SSL, but I always run that single channel through the SSL board VST that they have there as well. And there's presets for guitars, drums, bass. There's presets. I'm not good at doing certain things, so I always find a good preset that works for it. And then after that, I'll also run Slate has, where they have like the processing stuff that goes through, you know, it's like the outboard gear. You're running it through this, you run it through that, you know, so I run it through both of those.
Nice.
And it's like my board's going into a SSL board into like this really nice, you know, outboard gear that you would do a normal chain through. And it comes out amazing, Eric. Trust me, you're going to love your SSL too.
Cool. So far so good. It was just little investments I'm doing because I need to step up my game over here. The other one I've heard, obviously people, they get that that twin, with the Apollo.
Yeah.
Apollo twin interface is popular too. That one's like four times as much money. I'm not quite at that level yet. So I was like, let me check this thing out for $350. Mm-hmm. And I was messing with it all day today. I was starting to. It was cool though. It was a nice upgrade.
That is really cool. Does your board for your guitar effects, is that a USB direct into your studio as well?
Yeah, I'm still working with that. I have a HX Stomp Line 6. Mm-hmm. That's the newest Line 6 thing that I got that's got all the Helix tones in it. And that does have a USB where I could actually use that as an input device and track right to Logic, you know, with that. Mm-hmm. Same with the Shure microphone, the, you know, MV8, I think, or something.
Okay, you got the new USB mic.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that also, I could use that as an input device too. But I'm trying to work out, you know, using stuff with this SSL thing too. It looks like I could go into that. That's stuff where I'm really bad at that. I have the worst attention span. I'm more used to some nerd doing it for me. Yeah. You know, but I need to learn how to do it for myself. But that's kind of where I'm at with it this next month here. We're not playing till that Rainbow 50th anniversary thing. So I have like a month and a half off at least. So I'm really going to deep dive and get my whole, you know, home recording game kicked up.
And if you have questions about it, I have the same one, man. Call me. Call me or text me.
I will.
I'll walk you through it, brother. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know, how do you do your mastering? How do you master your tracks? Is there something that you use for when you're doing mastering?
Well, for me, most of the stuff that I've done has just been like a beginning point where just to write the music. So when we've gone in to record the music for the albums and stuff, Matt has used whatever mastering, you know, programs that he's done. I'm trying to remember. There was one that I messed with here, and I just used enough free ones to like do it. There's a lot of online ones where you can just kind of upload MP3 and they can master it. Which one do you? What do you use?
I use Major Decibel. It's $25 for the year, unlimited. Unlimited, you put it in.
That's
there
good.
And there you can have, if you can do it a couple, there's, they give you three options the first time you click it, and then they'll give you five options from really bright to like really warm, right? And
right.
But for, I paid like $69 for their VST to where if I want to do it by hand, I can. So if I put it through Major Decibel and I'm not happy with the master, I go and master it by hand.
Nice.
But yeah, for $25 for the year, Major Decibel is awesome, bro. I
pay that much for the My Talking Pet app.
Oh, that's funny. My Talking Pet app. Awesome, brother. There you go. So that's what I do, man. I use that all year long. And if you really
yell at my girlfriend, and I make my cat yell at her instead with the cartoon voice that makes it less offensive.
That's funny, man. That's cool, dude. I need to do that for my wife. It's awesome.
Yeah. I will check out Major Decibel. That's awesome. I will, because I was kind of thinking about that too. Like, remember how like back in the day some shredder guitar players put out their own like instrumental records, like Steve Vai, Passion of Warfare and stuff like that? Yeah. I was considering maybe doing something like that, where in that case I would need to master stuff. And
yeah. And if you ever need help when you do that, if you need help mixing it or anything like that, dude, I'm here for you, bro. I'm here for you, dude. I'll help you out.
Right on. Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
I'm always down. I live and eat and breathe music, man. That's all music. I absolutely love it, brother. So, I want to say thank you, man, so much for being a guest on here. I do hope you can come back again. I really like talking to you, Eric. You know, you have a...
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, you see something crazy anytime. You want to talk about, let me know. So,
I do. Well, I got time coming up. I'm going to be deep diving conspiracies for the next 2 months. Mm,
that would be
so
awesome.
We'll definitely have to figure out what's going on in Ukraine, get an update on that next time. And
yeah. Let's definitely do that. And hopefully when you guys come out, I think you came out in July, hopefully I can go meet you in person and we can do the podcast live.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
This Beaver Dam Fest that we're doing out there. Are you going to be able to go to that?
I'll find a way to be there. Hopefully I can be there and I'll bring my stuff and we can do it live.
I'll hook you up, you and your friends, for that. Make sure you guys can come back and hang out with us.
Dude, that would be really, really cool.
See everything from our view.
There you go, dude. Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely can't wait to can't wait to see that dude. I've seen Steven and with Rat a lot of times, and Steven by himself a couple times as well. So he always puts on a good show, well, as
Kentucky,
far as I'm concerned.
Kentucky has loved the Rat music, and they're already super excited about this festival out there. So
I bet.
We hope you make it out. I'll definitely take care of you out there.
I appreciate that, man. And then, so where can the people listening to the show, if they want to hear more of your music, get to know you a little bit more, where can they find you?
Well, as far as me right now, I just have the Facebook. So it's just Eric Tarantino, Facebook/Eric Tarantino for the time being. And then as far as website, Steven's website will have all the current dates that we have so far. And that's official StephenPiercy.com.
Okay.
Or StephenPiercyOfficial.com. But it comes up on a search if you Google or what have you, official Steven Piercy, that's what will come up, his site. He has he's adding dates as we speak. So we're excited. We're coming your way, people.
All right, man. And I can't wait to see you. Do have a wonderful day. Man, I'll talk to you again. Thanks so much, Eric.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Good night.
You too. Today's episode is brought to you by Therapy Session Studios. For all your podcast and music needs, go to therapysessionstudios.com or email conspiracyisthetheory@gmail.com for more information.